the McDonald's Viking Drill Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Round Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the world wide web
from a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome once again to another edition of the Viking Round Ball Podcast. Carl Knox alongside head boys basketball coach from Vinton County, the one and only. Always cheerful and gleeful this time of year. Stress-free, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
How you doing?
All right. How you been?
Well, good. Man, I can't believe it's this time of the year already.
Yeah.
Tournament draw yesterday.
Yep.
Big league games this week.
It's not very often you get to the last week of the season and have three of them left, is it?
Yeah, that's true. It's always fun, at least if you're me.
I bet it is.
You, that might be a different story, I guess, but... How you doing there?
All right.
Good deal. Got a lot to talk about. Got a real kind of a neat podcast coming up. We are recording this Monday afternoon, February the 11th. This is the 11th, February the 11th, and got a really interesting, actually have two guests. We're going to get you in and out of here because you got to get to practice. You got a big practice today. Obviously have the Athens home game tomorrow as a makeup that was canceled from early in this year, but that'll be a big game. We'll talk about that. But two guests.
Plus, these guys are a lot more interesting than me.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
just try to get me out of here as quick as you can.
Oh, no, hold up there, Sparky. hold up. You made a comment. We were talking to our one regular guest, Troy Bolin, one and only Troy Bolin from TriValleyConference.com. He was in here earlier before we started taping, and you said, tell you what, why don't you go ahead and get me in and out of here because I got to get some things to do before practice. You do your bit, and then you throw that out.
I'm just messing with you.
Well, I'm glad to see you're still smiling, and you know, I know that this is a big week, and as you mature and you get a little older, you tend to be a little bit more, I don't know if relax is the right word, but a little bit more tolerable, but I know that good problems. Is you guys kind of hold your own destiny, and hopefully if you hold serve, things will go well. But
if it's a little stressful at this point in the year, that means at least you've put yourself in position. So you take the good with the bad.
Yeah, that's all you can that's all you can hope for.
Right.
Well, do have a big couple games to talk about, but let's talk about the past week as you guys kick your record up to 15-3 overall. 6-1 for the year in the Tri-Valley Conference, Ohio. Had a game down at Meigs High School as you guys had to take a tough road trip. We talked about that last podcast, that Meigs is never easy place to play. You get out of there with a 4-point win, 51-47. Kind of a slow start for your Vikings as you guys go down 14-7 in the first quarter, some strong second and third quarters, and then Meigs makes a run at you guys in the fourth. But talk a little bit about that game and your thoughts.
Yeah, like you said, it's a tough road trip. Meigs has played really well of late. They've played a tough schedule. You look at the teams they lost to, whether it be us a couple times or Warren or, Chesapeake, some of these other teams they've played. They've played a tough schedule, but they've played well at home. You know, I know they beat Nelsonville at home and beat Wellston at home. So they had a little bit of momentum, and it was a tough game. We went down there. They came out, played really, really physical early with us. We didn't adjust to it quick enough, but in second, third quarter, we'd started to adjust to it some, found some ways to score. Our defense was pretty good the whole night, really. We just struggled scoring a little bit early in the game. And then late in the game, we thought we were going to be able to get an 8-10. I think we were up 8 points at one time. And Meigs just hit some really, really tough shots down the stretch. The Sheets kid's going to be a really nice player, freshman. Mm-hmm. He was basically hitting some fall away jump shots in the lane. I mean, you know, where we thought we had pretty good defense, and he was knocking them in, so you got to give him credit. But, yeah, it was tight. It was a little too close for comfort, for sure, but it was nice to see our kids execute down the stretch and find a way to get it.
Well, we talked about, you know, Coach David Kite, the first-year coach down at Meigs High School, and, you know, what the energy that he has brought to that program. Obviously, last year, I think they were only a one- or two-win year, and then now they're 9-9 overall, 4-5 in the TVC Ohio. And you know, as much as you like to win games, for the overall parity or competitiveness of the Tri-Valley Conference Ohio, I think between Coach Kite doing a lot of the right things that need to be done down there, and then with some young up-and-comers that they have, Meigs is going to be a name that you know, they're not going to be a cupcake for anybody over the next several seasons. They should be a formidable program.
They have some kids coming. I mean, you know, obviously the Sheets kids playing varsity as a freshman. I know their JV team's pretty solid. They have some nice guards on there. You know, I think they graduate a couple of their bigger kids this year, so we'll see what kind of size they have. But I know they have some good guard play coming up through. And like you said, the main thing when you're trying to rebuild a program is attitude and trying to get excitement back in. And I think Coach Kite's done that, and the Meigs people are starting to care about basketball a little bit right now, and I think they're going to be a good team.
Stats for the Vikings: Jordan Kidd, the only player in double figures with 24 points. LB Ramey has 8. Tyler Walton comes in with 6 points. Alex Owens, 5. Chewy Smallwood, 3 for Vinton County. Jordan Albright picks up 1. As far as you said, like you said, especially early in the goings of that game, some tough shooting for Vinton County. From the floor that night, you guys shoot 40% from the floor. However, get to the line 29 times, 21 of 29 for 72%. I know that's both the Zane Trace game, which I'll segue into right now, both the Meigs game and Zane Trace. Looks like you guys are starting to capitalize on the free throw a little bit better as we get later into the season.
Yeah, we have. I mean, now when we talk about this Zane Trace game, the funny thing about it is almost all of our misses were in the last four and a half minutes. So yeah, it's a little deceiving. It let them back in the game. But yeah, I think as a whole, the free throw shooting's getting better. You know, we had some guys at the beginning of the year that we thought were good free throw shooters, just weren't making them. They've started to come around. So obviously your team percentage goes up a little bit when you start to get that consistency.
Right. You know, on that note with the Zane Trace game, the final score there, 58-55. I think the score to some degree, and not to take anything away from Coach Alley and the Pioneers, final score a little bit deceiving, as you guys had a 13-point lead at the end of three quarters, and you know, for lack of a better term, just kind of crapped your pants down the stretch. But you guys come out, really throw it out in the first quarter, outscore Zane Trace 22-13. It's the score at halftime's 31-17. You know, they make a little inroad in the third quarter and get up to 43-30, and then the final score is they outscore you in the fourth quarter 25-15.
Right.
You know, Zane Trace is a good team, and matchup wise, a couple big post players, you know, for them. But that was a good non-league win, and I'm sure you were just very happy when that final horn sounded and you walked away with the win.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great win for us. I mean, going into that game, I think, you know, Zane Trace had lost maybe 4 games on the year or something like that. They'd had a tough game with Piketon the night before, which had a lot has a lot to do with who's going to win that league. And you know, I was real proud of our kids for the way we play. I mean, honestly, we played for most of that game, maybe some of the best basketball we've played all year, I felt like, in terms of our defense. I mean, they were a lot bigger than us. You know, we did a nice job of handling that. They had a couple really nice shooters. And then I thought offensively we picked on certain mismatches. We were able to get shots where we wanted them. And I was really pleased with, because that's a day that has a lot of distractions to begin with, you know. And
it's a long day.
Yeah, I mean, our freshmen start at 1 o'clock, then our JVs play, and then our varsity got there right about the beginning of the JV girls game, had to set through JV girls, varsity girls. So it's a different type of day. You always worry about that. Zane Trace had a lot going on that night with senior night and had a thing with their band, you know, at the beginning of the game. And I just thought, man, there's a lot of distractions. I hope we're ready to play. And honestly, we came out really with a lot of urgency, fired up. We jumped on them early.
Was that something that you talked about in the locker room? There are distractions, and then you got to just weather the storm. You're on the road, and they answered the bell.
Yeah, I mean, at this time of year, whenever you're on the road, like 2 straight days, we had senior night. You know, we had it at Meigs, too. We sit through that. And it's just one of those things that happens this time of the year when you're on the road. And yeah, I mean, or even at home to some extent, because we'll have our own senior night this week, and we'll have, you know, we had Hall of Fame one night. There's always those things as coaches that worry you a little bit if they're right before the game, like, are your kids standing around? Are they not going to be ready? But we talk about it, and I thought our kids did a good job. And then you mentioned the fourth quarter, and it's really, when you go back and look at it, we made a couple mistakes. We had a couple breakdowns, but honestly, it was just free throw shooting in the fourth quarter. I mean, they started fouling us early, probably about 3 minutes left. And, we just didn't make – and we had made all our free throws pretty much up to that point. I think we missed almost every free throw we missed for the game, we missed at the end. And I don't know whether it was tired legs, because we had good shooters at the line too. So, the free throw shooting almost cost us right there at the end of the game. But you're right. When we finally were able to survive that, it was a good feeling.
Yeah, you know, you talk about distractions before the game. I remember this one time at this game, this coach, like, really likes – you know, to be in the limelight and everything, and he wanted to get a plaque.
Oh, yes, yes.
What was that? And he got a plaque, and the team, I forget who was playing that game, but anyhow, the coach that got the plaque, it's lost. Like his team came out and just got wallered on. But that's another conversation for another story. I'm doing my best.
Looking for those people that gave me that plaque. No, I'm just joking.
It wasn't me. Well, according to your son, you had to give it back. So.
Yes.
Anyhow, for the Vikings against Zane Trace, Jordan Kidd leading scorer again with 21 points. LB Ramey has 12. Alex Owens, 6 points. Tyler Walton, 5. Matthew Smallwood with 2. Jordan Albright with 3 points. And Bryce Owens with 9 for the Vikings. As you guys shoot 70%, 21 of 30 from the line. However, down the stretch, there were some plentiful misses to kind of put that game away. From the field, 37% overall. From beyond the arc, 15 of 16 for 31%. But nonetheless, 6-1 in the TVC Ohio and 15-3 overall. As Magic Johnson would say, when you win 15 games and you lose 3, that's pretty good.
He probably would say something like from listening to Magic over the
years. Before we touch on the tournament, I know that after yesterday going down and hanging out down at Jackson High School for the tournament draw, we'll get to that here in a little bit. But 2 games until we tape again. I think we're going to tape again next Sunday and probably have our senior players in because normally our taping day is Monday. However, you got a game next Monday, and we'll touch on that next Sunday. But for the week, 2 big home TVC Ohio wins. A lot of teams really just got 1 or 2 games left on the schedule, or some of them just won.
Right.
Due to makeups with the Nelsonville game having to be made up, and then also this Athens game that originally was scheduled for back in early December,
right,
of course, with Athens and their football run. I guess you got to be happy there at home, but briefly, tomorrow night's going to be a packed house, a very big environment, very big game for both you and Coach Skinner's Bulldogs. Just your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, games like this, you know, they say it all comes down to this. Of course, it doesn't all come down to this because we have 2 more tough league games after this. But, I mean, obviously, this is a big game. It's going to feel like a championship game, I think, a tournament, probably atmosphere, truthfully. And Athens-Vinton County fans probably have gotten used to this and probably ought to get used to this because we're probably going to have a few of these over the next few years. They're very talented and young players, and we think we have some good ones too. And so it's going to be – it ought to be a lot of fun probably for the fans, other than maybe not too comfortable of a seating situation if you like to be packed in there pretty tight. But but no, I mean, I think both teams pretty much know each other right now. I don't think there's a whole lot.
At this point in time of the season, you know how they're going to play.
Right.
They know how you're going to play. They've seen you several times. You've seen them several times. Do you put – not that I'm trying to dig too deep, but do you really go out on a limb and say, we're going to put in a whole bunch of – you know, couple more sets, or we're going to change things up? I know you've probably watched the Athens film from back when you played them over in the MAC back in January, but do you do things much different? You just kind of keep preaching the same thing?
You know, not really. I mean, if you've been successful all year, like both of our, you know, we have and they have, and it's pretty hard to make a lot of changes at this point. Obviously you look at the previous game and say, what could we have done better? And, you know, but that's more of just execution. What could we have done better? Not so much we didn't do this, so let's change it and try something. I mean, it's usually just, you know, let's just do it better. But no, you don't make a lot of changes at this point. You always have a couple things where you think, well, maybe if this happens, we'll try this. Or maybe, but you do that pretty much for every game, truthfully, not just a game of this magnitude. So no, I think both teams, if you look at the way they play and the way we play, neither team is really a smoke and mirrors type of team. You know, everyone pretty much knows what we do, and right. we just go try to do it really well. And
from a personnel standpoint, you're really not set up to say, okay, we're going to go in a whole different direction. And they're the same way too. And I know the Saltzman kid, the freshman guard, he is not going to be playing tomorrow night from what I understand. He's out.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, and I wasn't sure. I know he's been hurt, you know, and obviously it's unfortunate for anybody. I mean, even though we want to win and all that, and they want to win, I'm sure neither team wants to see stuff like that. But we prepare like he's going to play. You never know. We told our kids, you know, hey, let's just prepare for everybody. Once we get there, if somebody's not playing, you never know.
I shouldn't have leaked that then.
Well, no, I don't know. We'll just keep.
What happens.
Obviously, they're outside of myself and God. I don't trust anybody during basketball season, so whoever gave you that information, I don't trust them. But
he's out in the waiting room. He's the one with the white hoodie on out there.
But we just kind of prepare for everybody, and obviously when you lose kids, it hurts, and when your kids are banged up. I mean, we lost Chase Wood the other night, and Chase isn't a guy that plays a ton of varsity minutes, but it'd be nice to have him. I mean, he's played some good minutes for us, and unfortunately, that's our first real injury.
And how long is he going to be gone?
We don't know for sure because he had to go see a doctor today, actually. I haven't got the word yet, but busted his ankle up pretty good. I think he's going to – I would be hard-pressed to believe he could play this week. You know, we hope to get him back by tournament. But you never know once the doctor sees him. But that's kind of our first major injury of the year. We've been really blessed, and other teams have had to go through a lot of injuries, I know. So you just take – I just guess you take it and go with it. But obviously, Athens, with or without him, is a great team. I mean, they've proven that. They've got a lot of talent. So, we're going to have to be ready to go. I like where our kids are at right now. I do. I like the way we're playing. I like our attitude in terms of our approach. We're playing with confidence, but we're not arrogant. That's all you can hope for as a coach this time of the year. You hope when you go into a game like this that you like where your team's at. I like where my team's at. We'll see how it goes tomorrow night.
Okay. We had a tournament draw yesterday. Most important thing right out of the gate, how was the food?
It was good. Good. Typical. I mean, it's the normal menu.
Well,
sub.
I did talk to a friend of mine who's an assistant coach that, you know, he was there and he got a call to come. And then, right. I guess I'm not in the Combs posse. I didn't get my call, so I wasn't part of the Benton County posse, you know, because every head coach, most of them. You don't just go by yourself. You bring your homeboys, a posse, and you go.
I've been to it by myself. I've been to it with one guy, two guys. Now, you got to give it to Ironton. We were messing with Ironton yesterday.
Coach LaFon.
Coach Pearson asked him if they brought a limo down there because they walked in with about eight guys.
I mean, from what I understand, Ironton's playing like a college team right now, so I guess they're entitled to do that.
They brought a ton in there. But
What is the spread? Is it cold cuts pizza?
Yeah, it's a cold cut sub, like a ham and cheese sub.
Right.
Some chips, and then they have chili, they have vegetable soup, they have some cookies. Well, that's a nice spread, man. Right.
So I take it one trip to the
I only went one. You know, I would have liked to have had seconds, but we had practice.
Did to get back
so
to practice.
I had to get out of there, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I take it Coach Kite was with you. He was part of the process.
Yes.
As I say, I see the thing you should have thought through. Coach Kite being probably the most intelligent assistant coach in the world, he could have ran practice by himself. You didn't need to be there.
Well, yeah, that's true. Now, he'd already eaten, so I could have taken his plate. I should have had him go get a plate so I could have maybe had some to go, but no, we just went with one plate yesterday.
Okay. Well, no big drama in the Division II.
Yeah, the funniest thing about it was we were even joking in there. I don't even know if I should say this, but I will. Every vote yesterday in that draw was unanimous.
Really?
Except for one. There was one team late in the thing that just voted for themselves, you know, that seed, which is fine.
It wasn't going
to
make any
difference. But it ended up being 8-1, and every other vote was 9-0. And, I mean, the coaches are looking at each other like, man, this is almost too easy, you know. I mean, you never get it that easy. Now, we haven't – in ours, truthfully, in the Division II one lately, over the last few years, we haven't had a whole lot of controversy, really. I mean, I'm telling you, there's – And some of those other rooms, D3, D4.
The D3 room.
Usually when people
chippy.
Leave that room, there's some days they look fighting mad. You know what I mean? And we haven't had a whole lot of that in ours. And yesterday, honestly, we were the first ones. I mean, we were in and out of that room in 10 minutes, I bet. Maybe 15 at most.
Troy's not in studio right now, but just a little bit before we started taping, he made the comment. He said, well, I appreciate you blowing me off yesterday, Coach. Cause, yeah. And I just for our fans, all four of them that are listening, what you said makes a lot of sense. When you go to these seedings, do you kind of feel sometimes uncomfortable about going up to talk because you think about what other people are thinking?
Yeah, you just – when you go in there – you know, you see a friend, a coach, and you shoot the breeze with him for a minute, and then people are looking at you like, "Hey, what are they talking about? Are they going over strategy over there?" Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, it's just that I haven't seen a guy in a while. You're talking to him. I mean, I've had conversations with coaches before about seeding in advance of the tournament, but it's usually on the phone or something like that. I mean, once I get there. Once I get to that room, I'm not going to sit around a table and talk too much about it. You know, we're there. Let's just go do it.
And there's all kinds of conspiracy theories in terms of if you're from the TVC, you give SEOAL no respect. This conference doesn't, you know, they all kind of they gang up on another one. And, you know, they've heard different things and I've read different things on the web boards and stuff like that. But
Well, some of that's justified. And I think some of it's because – it used to be really bad back in the day. I mean, I think coaches have cleaned it up a little bit. I can remember, and I'm not going to name the league, but I can remember back when we used to have it at the old Jackson High School. You know, we've always had it at Jackson, but before the new school was there and we had it down at the bottom of the hill, there was a league that had almost 70% of the teams in a sectional. You know what I mean? I mean, mm-hmm. they easily had majority. I mean, if they vote together, it's over with.
Right.
You know. They would meet out in the parking lot, get a bracket. Where do you want to be? Okay, we'll put you there. We'll put you there. And they filled it out in advance.
And they had the majority when they walked in.
Those other teams may have just stayed home and watched TV, you know, because they had no chance. So, I mean, there was a lot of that that went on. Maybe there's still a little bit of that. I don't know. But in the Division II room, I can tell you I don't think there's a whole lot of that. We have a pretty good group of coaches in there, I think, try to do it the right way. And, you know, at that Logan sectional. And Ron Janey does a nice job running that.
And Ron runs the D2 room.
Yeah, whoever hosts the tournament usually runs that room, you know. So, but no controversy yesterday. It's pretty cut and dry.
Okay. The food was good.
Yeah.
And I didn't get an invite.
Well,
and honestly, I stayed home watch Ohio State get their brains beat.
Yeah, that was rough.
It was ugly.
They had that game on the TV, like in the cafeteria, and every time I looked up there, they were getting beat a little worse.
It's just kind of like a slow moving train wreck.
Right. It was bad. Right.
Well, Coach, busy week for you.
Yeah.
Keep those nerves in check.
Oh, we'll see what we
can
do.
Sure, we'll be seeing your smiling face tomorrow at the Vincennes High School Gymnasium. But you know, if you win tomorrow night and Athens loses tomorrow night, that means Athens will have two league losses and you'll only have one.
Thanks, Magic.
And that would be good.
You're quoting Magic Johnson a lot tonight, aren't you?
Well, I don't think
people get the inside joke.
Okay,
but I mean,
quickly for all four of our listeners, we're on a golf trip. Can I name names?
Yeah, I don't care.
We're on the golf trip that Coach Combs takes me to every year and hosts. And why we took this fourth person, I have no idea. But it was myself, you, our good friend J.J. Hale, who works for me. And we'll just call this place the Ville.
Yeah.
The Ville. We're at this one of your favorite places on the whole world.
Oh, yes.
And the fourth person we took was none other than Oak Hill High School coach Norm Pearson. And we had played all golf all day. I think we played like 36 holes. And we go back to our hotel and we're there. They like it's like a suite. We're all sitting there. And it was during the NBA finals or one of the
games. Right.
And Norm, who is a horrible golfer, by the way, terrible. And just Norm just whined and bitched and cried the whole day. But finally, we think, okay, all four of us are going to watch this NBA game. So we're all sitting, four guys, it's a guy trip, we're sitting there having some cold drinks, and the NBA preview is on.
Yeah.
And Magic makes some stupid rhetorical comment to the effect that I just did, like.
Yeah, I think the one he made that night was, and Coach Pearson had heard him make one a couple days earlier.
Yeah,
about it on the course. I can't remember that one. But that night he says, I think it was the Heat Celtics, and he says.
Yeah.
And it was 3-0 maybe the series was, or 2-0 at the time. Heat were up. And he goes, the Celtics do not want to get swept. are you kidding me? I thought they wanted to get swept.
We all just kind of were waiting for it. And Norm, of course, anyone who knows Norm's facial gestures, he squints up his eyes and he has a way of bending that bird beak nose. And he just let off a whole series of expletives, which this is a family show. He's like, what in the, what is, that's the stupidest thing. He's like, don't you, and then he looked over at you, he said, don't you get sick of people asking you loaded or rhetorical questions when you get, and it, of course that was the whole, that was the joke, the rest of the golf trip was, if I make a three on this par four, that will be a birdie, and that will be good.
Yes.
So, anyhow, all four of those listeners, well, we're probably down to two now, but nonetheless.
They're getting bored. But
no. Coming up next, you got to get to practice. I'm not even going to ask you what you're doing today at practice because it's probably highly confidential and classified. You could tell me, but you'd have to have
I'd have to kill you.
And you don't want to do that. No, I don't want you to do
that. I want to go to that golf trip again.
Coming up next, great guest, the voice of Basketball 30 and the Ohio University, none other than Lou Horvath. He's going to be live in studio along with our little bulldog buddy, none other than Troy Bolin from TriValleyConference.com. Wish you could stick around, but I know you got places to go and people to see and kids to coach and games to win. And
hopefully.
Yep. Hopefully, yeah. Well, we wish you the best of luck tomorrow night and Friday night. I will not talk to you again until probably Sunday, so... I know it's when it's time of the season when I send you four texts and you answer one of them. I know we're in late season mode. Good luck to you, Coach.
Thanks, man.
Matt Combs here in the Viking Roundball Podcast. It's presented by McDonald's. McDonald's and MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Up next, Lou Horvath, the voice of the OU Bobcats, as well as the Southeast District Boys and Girls District and Regional Tournaments. We'll get an insight on what it's like to set behind the mic. Coming up next on the Viking Roundball Podcast. Back on the Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's. McDonald's and MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. We kicked the coach out. He's a busy guy. He's got practice as the Vikings get ready for their big, big game with the Athens Bulldogs. We'll talk more about that with the big Bulldog himself, Troy Bolin. He's coming up in a brief time here on the podcast, but now... The one and only. People know the voice. They probably don't know the face or know the name behind the voice. Very, very happy today to be joined by none other than Lou Horvath. You know him maybe if you've visited the Convocation Center for district or regional high school boys or girls tournament play as that sweet-sounding PA announcer, Mr. Basketball 30 himself. He joins us in studio. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine today, Carl. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. We've had every conceivable successful coach, I think, in the Southeast District with us, and we've done a segment this year called Where Are They Now?, where we've gone back and talked to past Vinton County graduates, old coaches, things of that nature. And with the onslaught of the tournament coming up here, you know, we just kind of thought maybe that might be a good idea because everybody, you know, that's one thing. And I know, you know, talking to you on the phone and a lot of my buddies that have known you for years outside of the broadcast world said, oh, he's a real nice guy, very humble, laid back. But you stop and think about how many kids, how many schools, how many communities come in and out of that building. And I'm preaching to the choir when I say this to you, but you know, it's always someone always says, man, that guy that does the PA announcing, that Basketball 30, and he gets, you know, in your objective. And then I know on another side, and we'll get to this later, as far as what you do for the Ohio University. But how long have you been doing this?
It seems like it's been forever, but I've been doing the tournaments in the Convo since 2000.
Okay.
So it'll be my 13th year coming up.
And that's on the high school level.
On the high school level, right. Started out, we discussed this on the phone the other day, by kind of stumbling into doing junior high soccer games at Alexander, a job I had a long time ago. I was the public address guy, the public information guy for Social Security. So I did radio, TV, magazines, things like this. So not a stranger to a microphone, Carl, as sometimes we're not, you know.
Right.
And So they needed somebody to do it, and they wanted someone to make some noise, so I was the guy in the mic for those games. That led to doing the varsity games, the varsity basketball for Alexander.
Now, your children graduated from Alexander.
I had one that was Alexander. All three of them had gone through up into high school, and then Troy would be happy to know this. The two became Bulldogs in their junior and senior years.
I'm sorry.
But, yeah, so was I. but Patrick stayed with it. Patrick graduated valedictorian in 2000. I went on down the Tulane, played soccer.
Wow.
And when he had a junior year abroad, I'm bragging for the kid, at Trinity University in Ireland, was the only American to make the soccer team. So
wow.
The kid's good. He had a good time. He's in New Orleans now. He's teaching mathematics at Loyola.
But you started out at Alex. Was it just kind of a freak thing that you got thrust into doing junior high soccer, and then it just kind of escalated from there within Alexander, and then What sparked the how did you get the gig at the convo?
At the time, Kelly Ryan was the athletic director. Great guys from the Valley. I'm a Valley boy. I'm from Bel Air. And okay. Kelly's from Bridgeport, actually, Kirkwood Heights. At the time, Wayne Horsley had just taken over the tournament.
Right.
He was the site manager. He needed somebody to fill in a couple of days because the regular person wasn't doing it. So Kelly asked if I would do it. I had been doing sectional games for the boys and the girls at Alexander because at that time we were holding the sectionals up there in the old gym. Knew what I could do. He asked if I'd do it, and I jumped at the chance because I've been going to OU games in the convo since 1970.
Huh. Well, when you first started, and I don't care how much schooling, and it sounds like you didn't, you know, your background wasn't, you know, in a TCOM, you didn't go to broadcast school or anything like that. You had a voice for it and a knack for it, and you started. But do you remember that first game you ever did at the convo, and how nervous were you?
Big time.
Really?
Big time nervous. I think that the first game I did in the convo was for the Alexander's Hoops tournament.
Okay,
because we would put them on. I think it might have been 98.
That's what was 99. The Holzer Clinic.
That was before Holzer was involved.
Right. Now it's at Marietta.
Right. And it was, at one point in time, I looked up to where I normally sit in the convos going, it's me. I'm down here making these sounds. How great is that? I was so excited about it.
It's a little bit of a change from the Alley.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time. The first intercollegiate men's game I did there was really nerve-wracking because all of a sudden you've got all these people.
They're right on top of you.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. People who might be listening to our podcast that have gone to the high school district or regionals but maybe have not attended an OU basketball game, be it women's or men's, they pull the bleachers out and it's a kind of a whole different dynamic and a different environment. But in addition to doing getting into the high school district and regional with the convo, now you're, I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm using the wrong term. You are the official athletic voice for predominantly all OU men's and women's basketball, OU football.
I do OU football.
OU soccer?
OU soccer and OU volleyball.
And I'm sure they all have their high points and low points, good and bad, but if you had to pick one sport that you would like to do best, which would it be?
It's hard to say what one I'd like to do best. The one I have the most freedom and the most range and the most Shecky Green type thing would be volleyball.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, I've got free range on that, and it's a comedic routine at times.
Well, and I've heard from sources. I'm not going to mention any, but that the PA announcer, at least what you're allowed to, the amount of rope they give you, is you can almost become a little bit part of the. You can exercise a little bit more gamesmanship in doing a volleyball game than, say, what you would in a basketball or a football situation. Is that accurate?
Oh, that's very accurate, yeah. Like I said, I have so much rope, I could coil it up around the earth two or three times, I think. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it, and they seem to like it. As a matter of fact, the home team does. I have a funny story about that that I could tell you. I did a promo for OU a while ago, and it was after being an MC of the volleyball banquet. Something struck me about Miami, and I just mentioned that I could have gone to Miami, but I went to Vietnam instead. Which, in essence, was true, except maybe not chronologically true. There might have been a two-year gap.
Right.
So they did, for the rival video they did last year, that was the lead. They led on with me saying I could have gone to Miami, but I went to Vietnam instead. I thought it was a better choice. Didn't think anything of it. I went home, told my wife. I really didn't have anything that night. They did the taping. That's about all I had, and I made a couple of other comments.
Right.
2 days later, I get a call from the sports information director saying the Miami newspaper editor wants to talk to you.
Uh-oh.
So, okay, fine. So I talked to the guy, and I knew he was trying to bait me, mm-hmm. but we got along fine. You know, I even got him to admit that he liked the journalism school at OU, and he thought it was a beautiful campus. We had a great conversation. So his column in the Miami newspaper was, I wanted to hate the guy, but I couldn't.
Well, that's and you're touching close to home because I'm the youngest of three boys. My two oldest brothers both graduated with honors from Miami. My aunt and uncle were professors at Miami. I graduated from OU. My dad graduated from I went through the TCOM journalism school. My dad was an engineer by trade, so was my uncle. They're both OU grads. So it's always been, and my brother who happens to do PA for Vinton County, you know. It's just any time at a, you know, dinner table, anything like that, any way that, you know, us OU guys are always partiers, hippies, liberals, and then you have the right wing, you know, business. And OU, Miami, is they are very good business school. You know, they got their upsides, but they're still Miami.
They're still Miami. To continue on with that, though, there's a volleyball connection.
Really?
After we had swept volleyball here, Miami volleyball, this one of their assistant coaches, kind of a big guy, shaved head, goatee, came over to me, you know, burly guy, said, I want to talk to you over here. Kind of that quiet voice. So we moved away from the microphone. We moved away from everyone else. And he said, you know, my uncle died in Vietnam, and I really did not like what you had to say. I said, well, I am a Vietnam vet. I've had friends who didn't come back. I've had friends who were here, didn't come home. So it took about 5 to 10 minutes of conversation with him. And I kept watching his hands to make sure that I wasn't going to get sucker right. punched. But after a while, he said, you know, I really appreciate what you do here. If I were at school here, I'd love to come here. As a matter of fact, I'd take you for a beer after the game. Well, so as it turns out, you know, what we do, and as OU grads, mm-hmm. we know we have a little kitsch on the Miami people. They would much rather be where we are, I think.
I think deep down, they'll say one thing till they're blue in the face, but, you know.
They're jealous.
Would you rather carry a slide rule and be a bean counter, or would you rather be a fun, social, you know, type person?
And have a good education.
Exactly. But the volleyball, and I take it from what I've understood about, you know, how you do the volleyball. It's never that you, over an open mic, say anything to be critical of the opponent. It's just you tend to not use your voice, your level of volume when you announce something that happens for the positive for the opponent. It's normally, you know, point to Miami.
Exactly.
And conversely, if one of the OU women happens to have just an absolutely fantastic spike that comes off a Miami player's face, it's... I take it you don't go spike by OU.
I may embellish
just a little bit.
Just a little, yeah. We've had recruits come in and just love it. I've had people from other teams come over too. And I was telling you earlier, I'm not the show. I just try to make it one for the kids, and they seem to like it. They enjoy it.
Well, the one thing is, you know, when you're on the college, you are OU's announcer. Be it whatever sport, you're there, and that's the home team. And to transition out of that a little bit, when you're doing, and I don't even know if you could count, between the girls and the boys, district and regionals, how many games are you going to do in the next 4 weeks, 5 weeks?
Last year we did 43 games in 3 weeks.
Okay. And when you're in that role, obviously the bleachers are up. You're kind of down in the bowl, on the floor. You've got to become very objective. And I'm sure that is kind of, I don't want to say hard, but it's probably something you got to be aware of, is that you can't show any favoritism to win. You do a very good job, but you do a real good job of you know, making it fair and objective and trying to highlight both teams and all the kids on those teams. Do you kind of have to shift gears and kind of be aware of that from going from doing the college level where you are the home team to doing the objective guy in the middle, so to speak?
When I'm doing the tournaments at the Convocation Center, there is no home team.
Right.
I have to make it exciting for both teams.
Right.
Because these are kids who are just so excited to be playing at the Convocation Center. They wait to get down there. Mm-hmm. And for me, to have a kid's name mentioned with the same type of excitement and intensity that he would have in his home game is what I have to do. You know, it's I have to match their level of anticipation and excitement with what I can bring to the table for them. And I do that. You know, I like I said, there is no home team. I can't pick favorites. Even when my own high school was here, mm-hmm. Bel Air came down a couple of years ago. They had a good enough team to play in the regionals.
What, they're D3?
Yeah, I think they were D3 at the time. They may be down to D4 now. Up in the valley,
right.
You know, there's a lot small. Of right. population moving out. But I did throw in a little bit of the old Bel Air High fight song as a narrative to say that they're moving on to the next level. And an old Italian lady came down after the game to give me a big hug. And I was standing with my wife, and then I realized after she left, that was my girlfriend from the eighth grade.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, she looked a little older than I did.
She came down on the floor?
Oh, yeah.
And Wayne didn't toss her out? Did she have credentials?
Well, no, I think Wayne was looking at something else at the time, but Wayne will make sure they don't get there.
I just say, Wayne runs a tight ship. Good guy, does a great job, but Wayne runs a very tight ship.
He does a fantastic job with it.
Well, and when you got so many people that want to get down on the floor that have no business being down there, you know, he wears a lot of hats with that manager's responsibility. What's the craziest thing you've ever seen happen in a high school district or regional game?
I think it was when the kid threw up on the floor. And my comment was, he left everything out on the court.
You can't argue with that.
No, I couldn't. I mean, I stated the obvious.
And you always have Randy Dillinger, doesn't he always keep book?
Randy has been keeping the book for probably 33 years.
That's what I thought.
He's an incredibly level-headed guy.
How much prep work? I mean, I know you do. You get a program, and you probably have to spend a little bit of time, you know, looking over rosters, names, pronunciations, things like that. But what goes on outside of, you know, you being behind the mic as far as prep work and what you do going into these games?
Well, we take a look at the rosters, of course, to try to get the pronunciations right. The last thing I want to do is mispronounce a kid's name.
Sure.
I want to make sure that I got positions right for the starters and who are going to be the starters, get the numbers correct. I do a special music mix for the Convocation Center every year.
Mm-hmm.
Because I run the music.
You put that together.
Yeah, I put that together.
Okay.
And essentially just making sure I'm there on time. I have a spotter and try to get a feel for the kids. If it's going to be coming up to a special game, I'll try to get something that's geographically significant mm-hmm. for a regional championship game. You know, like this one's for the Stonebridge in Bel Air versus the Clock Tower in Chesapeake or something.
Right.
You know, just to try to bring people into it. Because, they're traveling a long way to come to a very special game. And I want to make sure that it's extra special for them if I can.
As far as with all the games you've taken in, what probably, as far as crowds, what's been, you know, as far as a school district that comes in there and you know when they come in, they bring everyone in the whole town. What
Vinton County does.
Well, yeah. And to our credit, we're 25, 30 minutes away.
Yeah, but still there are some schools that are that close that don't bring a massive crowd. But Vinton County always has a good crowd support. The teams from up north sometimes will, too, as mm-hmm. well. Greenfield McLean,
yes.
When Dante Jackson was playing, mm-hmm. I think everybody in the town was here. When South Webster had that great run.
Yeah, Mark Kreischer's.
Yeah, they were here. You know, the biggest crowd I think I ever saw was it was Greenfield McLean and Logan Elm.
Okay.
And Logan Elm. Each team had a star. Mm-hmm. There might have been 10,000 people in the crowd that night. And it was a late Friday night game.
Yeah, I was there. I remember that game. And then I remember I think it was DeSales. Was it DeSales and Chillicothe or DeSales and Greenfield? But it was a Saturday game. And
it was DeSales and Chillicothe.
Okay.
Because you had the Kelloggs playing.
Yep. That's when Nick and his brother were both playing for DeSales. And they, you know, it's kind of good to see some of the Southeast region because for years it always seemed like in the D2, the Southeast district winner would always win. And then, you know, DeSales would come down and thrash us and, you know, good night, Southeast basketball. Yeah. But one question, basketball 30, where did it come from?
You really want to know?
Yes, I do.
I've been using it for a long time. And it stems from when we were all in Vietnam, not all of us, but my group in Vietnam, right. After coming off a 12-hour shift, the time would be beer 30.
Okay.
So it just kind of naturally evolved into basketball 30. And I've been using it. There are some schools come up with big banners mm-hmm. that have basketball 30 on them. Some little kids have signs saying basketball 30. There were T-shirts saying basketball 30. I will say one thing. If anyone else at any other basketball game, you hear someone saying it's basketball 30, let's go into the starting lineup, let me know who that is because they're stealing it.
We did this in purely good fun. A good friend of mine and myself, we did a Saturday morning high school talk thing on a 25,000-watt radio station down in Jackson, Ohio, WKOV. And when we, because your thing, it wasn't we were stealing it. It was just we were trying to generate.
That was you.
That was me. That wasn't me. It was the guy I was partnered with, JJ. But when we always got to this point in time of the season, the tournaments, we would always play the Alan Parsons Project, the Sirius bed. That's the old one that you used. And JJ, just to be a ass, would say it's basketball o'clock. And we had this big bit. Was like, no, it's not basketball o'clock. It's not basketball 8:15. It's basketball 30. But it, I don't want to say it's your tagline, but if someone says basketball 30, there's Lou. That's Lou Horvath's line. But that came from Vietnam.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is that's interesting. So every year, do you dread this? Do you look forward to this the high school gig?
Oh, I look forward to it. It's fun. There's a void when it's done. You know, my wife may not like it as much because I'm gone. You know, I'm at games all the time.
Right.
And it's still thrown in with some OU games too. So sometimes it's a little difficult when I have, you know, possession. I have to stop just for a second to know right. Who's going to be. It's not Bobcats.
Yeah. little things. Some of the I'm trying to think taglines for a lack of a better term that you use. Traveling. The call. I mean, mm-hmm. It's different things you use. And I mean, it's do you get nervous at all? Nervous is probably not the right word. Do you feel a little adrenaline going before every game? Or have you just done it so long now that it's just old hat?
The first game, it's always just a little different for me. Especially if I'm switching sports, going from football to basketball or soccer to volleyball, whatever. Right. There's always that kind of low-level apprehension to make sure I get everything right and hit the right notes. Sometimes I forget to say 2 minutes, you know, because that's...
Right, that's one of your taglines there.
Funny story about that, too, there, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
There used to be an official in the Mid-American Conference, Sam Licklider. If you remember Sam was the one that Bobby Knight... wanted to kill at a Penn State game or wanted to give a hard time because he made a mistake. Well, Sam was a MAC official, and my seats in the convo before I started doing the announcing were fairly close to the court, and Sam would always infuriate me, and I, in turn, would give it back.
Mm-hmm. Infuriate you personally or just the way he called a game?
The way he called the game, things that he missed.
Wasn't one of your favorites?
No, he wasn't one of my favorites, and I would always come up with something that would be never vile, never vulgar, but comedically pointed for Sam and loud.
But it wasn't something that he could toss you or it was not,
no,
never crossed the line.
Nothing like that. So when I started doing the games, I've been doing 2 minutes for the women's game, 2 minutes for the men's game. Before one of the games, he sent somebody down to make sure that I knew that wasn't in the NCAA regulation book to say 2 minutes. You could say 1 minute, but you couldn't say 2 minutes. And it was against Akron, I remember. And it was such that I thought, no, he'll be a real jerk, and he might call a technical foul on me if I were to do this.
Did you say 2 minutes?
No, I waited till afterwards, and he was walking across the court, and I said, we got 2 minutes left before half's going to begin. He just kept walking.
How hard is it, you know, having gone from being a fan, and now you're sitting at the scorer's table, do you have to and obviously you're a big OU fan, regardless of the sport. Do you have to temper your emotions?
I do.
Is that tough?
Oh, yeah, it is tough, especially when the calls don't go the way I think they should.
Right.
And everybody, you know, we all know officials. And I mean, we all have a good time with officials. Mm-hmm. And I get to see them on a little different level now. But there's still times where you go, how could you make that call? How could you do that? But I can't.
Have you ever said anything that a ref either said something or just kind of given you the look, the stare down?
No. I you have to be controlled.
Right.
You have to be controlled. I might shake my head, and they may walk by and look at me. But you cannot get involved in the game on that level when you're supposed to be the PA announcer. As a matter of fact, you're supposed to be as objective as possible.
Well, and on the college level, and I've not that I've ever worked on that level at all, but I have heard, and Dustin Ford, who you coached under.
Great guy.
Oh, Dustin's great. He's nuts, but he's a great guy. But, you know, knowing Dustin and socializing with him and going on golf, you know, I know what Dustin's like, and he's a very intense, very competitive, very highly spirited guy. And I've heard from him that the verbiage and the talking and the cursing and things of that level on the college, I mean, there is a huge discrepancy when you get to a D1. You know, a coach can get away with an awful lot on a college level, right or wrong.
Right. Okay. I hear it.
Yeah. And that's so I'm guessing. But I just know having kept book for little teams and, you know, things like that, when you're sitting there, you suddenly kind of can't say what you want to say. So it's got to be tough.
And different crews have different personalities, too. You know, Ted Valentine, you see him on TV all the time. He runs a game a little differently. And on the high school level, my favorite one is Tommy Hardy from Southern Ohio. And I make a point.
Yes.
Of saying something about Tommy Hardy every time I introduce him at the convo.
I think the last game I was over at the convo that he worked, when you announced, you know, they're breaking up, the starting lineups are done, and you say tonight's officiating crew was David McDavid, Tommy Hardy, and whoever the third wheel is in that crew, and you said Tommy Hardy, and you know, was been refereeing since Dr. Naismith invented the game, I think was the catch line that you had. But what are some of the other crews that work over there that you particularly enjoy working with?
On the college level, Jimmy Vasteen, he's from West Virginia. He works a lot of the women's games, OU mm-hmm. women's games. And I make sure I mention him as the uncrowned king of rock and roll, but I can't do it during the game. It has to be when they first come out. And he appreciates it. He comes over. He's just a funny guy. You know, and they're on my favorite, above all, it's got to be Tommy, though. I mean, who wouldn't? My goal in life in a high school setting is to have Tommy Hardy throw me out of a game as the PA announcer.
Really?
Yeah.
But Tommy's a pretty thick-skinned guy, isn't he?
Well, he'll call technicals on everybody, but I can't get him to do it with me.
You can't. I'll pay you. I'll pay you. Just.
I just thought it would be something I could keep in a mental scrapbook that I got thrown out of a game.
Any other refs on the high school level that you cruise that you really enjoy?
I like Dan McDavid.
Yeah, Dan McDavid. That's okay.
And Doug McGeorge, I like. He's always fun. Mm-hmm. Other ones that you know, I see, and then I remember the name later on.
Right,
you know, it's that type of thing.
Well, I mean, and there's a lot. I you could probably attest. Do you feel that the high school officiating in the Southeast District, good, bad, average? I mean, what you see is you kind of see the best of the best over at the convo. But are you pretty well pleased with the officiating that we get on the high school level here?
I think it's pretty average. It's a tough job.
Yeah.
You know, you've got somebody out there trying to keep control of some passionate 18-year-olds and then the coaches as well, and trying to take control of a game when they're on a very closed space and everything they do is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever they say, someone's going to not like the call that was made.
Right. One thing that I and this is kind of a, I'm sure you have an opinion on it, when they're not, you have any clout, that might be a different story. It's often been a topic of conversation of during the Southeast District and regional boys and girls basketball games, pulling the bleachers out and letting them down on the floor.
I'd rather not.
And why?
Well, case in point, doing a girls game, at Alexander the other night, and I was listening to some people behind me who were just really being difficult. They were, you know, criticizing the kids a lot, mm-hmm. and then just they found something that they liked to yell, and they repeated it. It's tough enough in a college crowd when I have people who are paying a lot to sit in those seats right behind me. I do not want to have that disruption in the convocation center. I think it's fine to keep it where it is. Mm-hmm. It keeps the passions somewhat stilted. You don't have people who are trying to climb down on the floor because they're going to have a big jump to do it with the bleachers pulled out.
Right.
And again, I know on Southeast Ohio Preps, it's always a topic of conversation. They should do it or they shouldn't do it. If I get a vote, I want him back.
I agree with you. For the sake of argument, or just asking you, you know, because one, if you have the bleachers out, just like you said, it's a distraction to you. And I understand for the crowd, they're closer to the game. But where they're at now, that is a great venue for what it's doing. Point one. Point two is that anytime you have a district championship, or you know, really for any sake, you could say, well, they're going to come out on the floor after every game. And the way it is now, you can't get down there, and everything works. There's a nice flow and continuity, and I can imagine it, other than the fact that it's a much bigger stage when you're doing the college, when you got people behind you, it cannot make your job any easier at all, is it?
It's a little difficult because generally speaking, for the college games, I have maybe 35 commercial reads to do.
Yeah.
Before the game.
And
then during the game, I've got other things to do during the TV timeout. So if someone's yelling and screaming behind me, and you know, you've been a broadcaster, if you have that distraction, it's very difficult to maintain your sense of purpose, so to speak, in reading what's on the cards.
You know, real quick, not that anyone else cares, but I'm just kind of curious with my background, the kids that work up on the tech row or media row, what are they, I mean, what jobs do they have? How do those kids get involved in that? And what all do they do in conjunction with helping you with your job?
There's a lot of work going into it. I went in early into the game on Saturday, and getting the convocation set ready for a game, there's an amazing amount of work. Of course, they have to set up press row. They've got to set up that. The kids on top are in constant communication because they're all the promotions they do at the TV timeouts, 16, 12, 8,
right.
and 4. Plus, the band has to play for a certain amount of time, 45 seconds, whatever. It's so scripted that I wouldn't have known that before actually taking part in it. Minute by minute by minute is scripted and what they have to do. So up further, we have the people who are working the music. Mm-hmm. And the slides that you see on the convocation floor.
Right.
So they have to get those things on right. So they have to coordinate with what I'm reading because I have a script. The person next to me is one of the interns with the business area. They have the same script along with the person who's up at top. So they're in constant communication to tell me what I have to do when as far as the reads to speed up, slow down, or stop because we have the dance team coming out.
Right.
Or there's a promotion when someone's riding a tricycle. So it's very, very busy.
Is there a, for lack of a better term, technical producer or a producer that's heading all this up?
Yeah.
And is there a pre-production meeting? Does that go on maybe at the beginning of the season just so kind of get in game shape, for lack of a better term? Does that happen?
I think they do it without me. But okay. We always have a quick meeting about an hour beforehand to go over the script. And to know what type of promotions that are going to be doing, whether or not we have a band coming in, whether or not there's going to be someone singing the national anthem, and what we're going to do as far as special presentations that I need to read. For example, we had both the volleyball team and the football team coming in during the media timeouts. So we had to go over what that is. I have to make sure that the pronunciations are correct. So, yeah, it seems like it runs smoothly, but it's very complicated.
There are
a lot of different facets to this. The elements have to come together.
Obviously, a lot more goes on with the OU, with the college level than the high school level. But still at that, do you find that when you're doing the high school, it's a little bit more, you can kind of relax a little bit?
Yeah, a bit more because I'm pretty much controlling the music at that point in time.
You're doing the music from a remote box right there.
Right, remote box downstairs. Okay. The thing that's been there, I think, since the Garfield administration. It's an old one.
1970 when they
opened it? Yeah, it's a hand crank. It's a Victrola. But I also split it with, they'll have a kid who runs the boards. And what they do on the boards, I don't know if you've ever seen them. My old buddy Joe Brackman, who used to be the media guy for OU, came up with where separated at birth stuff. It would be Sweet Lou and Wolf Blitzer.
Yes.
Or me and Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
It's the whole Mr. Food. And they have a basketball 30 slide. They do that. So they have those slides that they come into. For one St. Patrick's Day, they have Leprechaun Lou has, that's O'Fowl. And O'Traveling. So
they
do
all
that. Yeah, they have fun doing it. I got to say one thing. There are other districts and regionals that are held across the state, but we have more fun than any of them.
Do you ever get to, the Southeast Board puts on this level, but do you ever have an occasion to meet up or talk to other people that do other districts or regionals, be it PA or be it the site managers, or do you ever have a... I don't think you would, but I'm just going to ask.
No, but what I will have is someone might come down and talk to me who does the PA at Ironton or does volleyball somewhere. And they'll come down and say, you know, we really like what you're doing. We try to imitate what you do.
Right.
And I just want you to know how difficult it is to do these things. And they understand it. I talked to the guy at Bowling Green. We took a volleyball trip for the OU team. And I do have a pet peeve about that. you know, as a PA announcer. I really don't like those people who try to mimic the NBA things and say the very same thing the very same way. You know, elongate the name, elongate three. Like, so if they say the word three, it has to have a rising tone in the last 5 seconds.
Right.
You know, and don't change it. I mean, and don't vary.
Well, you're taking someone else's stuff.
Yeah, you're taking someone else's stuff, and you don't vary what you do from thing to thing.
Right. My makes a good point. I mean, you know, sometimes imitation to an extent is a nice form of flattery, but when you're either too lazy or too stupid to come up with your own material, then it kind of crosses the line, and that's
exactly.
when you're going, yeah, it's not yeah. good. I tell you what.
It's formula.
This is interesting. Before I get you out of here, I do want to give you some props. I don't know what year. It's been 2-3 years ago. Good friend of mine, and I don't know if you know this or not, Lou. The unofficial executive director of Vinton County Basketball Operations, the one and only Terry Wayne Pup Dog Llama Hale.
Oh, Terry and I used to play basketball together.
That's what he told me, because Terry's one of my guys. And he said, no, Lou, we used to play, I don't know, it was one of the elementary gyms there in Athens
yeah,
or whatever.
We did.
But well, I forget, it was probably the last time Vinton County was over at the convo. I forget you made some comment over the PA announcement about Pup Hale, Terry Hale. And I thought, that's classic, because when we did the radio show, we actually paid off Horsley to allow us to have a kid bring Pup a light snack. It was a couple hot dogs and popcorn and a soft drink in a box. We actually paid a kid to bring it to him on the bench. Of course, Combs went ballistic and just ripped him because it was right at game time. But there's a lot of little funny things that go on over there at the Convocation Center, and you obviously – you have fun with them. People know you, but like you said, it's at the end of the day, they're not there to see you. They're there to pay attention to their sons and daughters and kids and friends. And here in the next couple of weeks, I know a lot of people that pick up our podcast off of Preps. You know, people are starting to get a little stoked. It's about that time when you see floods of these school colors coming in and these banners, and you know, it's a great time. It's great for our youth and to see people do it, and we appreciate you providing your services. You do a great job.
And you know, Carl, it's almost basketball 30.
Not quite, Lou. It's basketball 25.
It's basketball and a half almost.
Thanks for stopping in.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
The one and only Lou Horvath, Mr. Basketball 30 from The Ohio University. We'll be talking to Troy Bolin, Mr. Tri-Valley Conference, and Mr. Bulldog himself, coming up next on the Viking Roundball Podcast.
From deep in the bowels of Vinton County, watching the Bulldog get sweaty. The time is coming up. There is no clock here. There's no sundial. There's no watch. Don't even look at a calendar. The time is basketball 30. Let's go to the starting lineup.
Back on the Viking Round Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's. McDonald's and MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. McDonald's and high school sports. I'm loving it. The one and only Lou Horvath. Wow, that was fun. I feel like I got musical guests this week. Coach is in here. He blows out of here to get to practice. Talk to the legendary voice of Basketball 30. Quite an extended interview, but hopefully our listeners enjoying it. And now we save the best for last. No doubt about it. Keep everyone waiting, because my old buddy Troy Bolin from TriValleyConference.com joins me in studio. Troy, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. And I'll agree, that interview was awesome. I really enjoyed the interview with Lou. I thought he had a lot of good things to say, and especially when he was talking about the OU volleyball. I've been there to experience that, and I tell you what, I think Lou was more entertaining than the game itself. Guy does a great job.
Yeah, and Lou will tell you, he doesn't like to be part of the show. He does add a lot of flavor to the basketball and things like that, and you know, that's doing that kind of stuff live in front of a lot of people. I prefer, you know, I don't mind talking to a million people, but when you're in a studio and you can – you know, edit and slice and dice stuff. But, you know, you stop and think about it. It's what he does. He makes it sound real easy, and it's not, especially when you're right there in front of God and everybody. And one of the best pieces of advice I ever got from somebody regarding broadcasting or doing PA or anything like that, he said, it's not how good you are. It's how good you recover. And I think a lot of times when you talk to, like, Lou, like we just talked to him after the interview, because you were sitting here through the whole time, you know, Lou was kind of joking about some of the times that he's messed up and, you know, kind of corrected it. And probably 95% of the public in the combo or wherever he was doing a game, you never knew he messed up. But that's just part of it. But we had you in here bright and early in the season for kind of the preview. And we're going to get into some tournament, the brackets, which we're taping this on Monday, February the 11th. We're going to kind of go over D2, D3, and D4 in the Southeast District, but kind of got to get this pink elephant out of the padded maroon room. I noticed you don't have any maroon on today, by the way.
No, I wore the Athens shirt just for you to bring some life into this room. I don't think Matt liked it very well either. He got out of here in a hurry, didn't say hi to me, you know. It must have been the shirt.
To me, it looks like a perfectly good white hoodie that someone took a crap in the middle of.
I don't know, Carl. I think it's pretty nice. I actually wore this to the draw yesterday.
What do you want to call it? You wore the same hoodie 2 days in a row.
No, I washed it. Okay. I washed it, but I figured I had to come out here and support the Bulldogs. Give some love.
Come out here. You always make it sound like when you come out to MacArthur, you make it sound like you're probably people from Athens will say, I'm going out in the boondocks to see my buddy at MacArthur.
Yeah, two trips in 2 days, that's enough for me. I'll be out here tomorrow night as well.
Yeah, let's just briefly touch on this, because I think, you know, anyone who's an avid fan, be it from Vinton County or Athens, has got their plan set for tomorrow night, and it ought to be a dandy. You know, obviously you guys get us, I think, by 8 points over at your place over at the Mac back in January. Athens has picked up a recent loss up at Logan, which I think for any Vinton County fan that thinks, well, we didn't have much of a problem with Logan. Logan's kind of a different team at Jim Myers Gymnasium. They play very well at home. But talk a little bit about the Bulldogs and kind of how you see Coach Skinner's team shaping up. Obviously, the game itself tomorrow night is paramount for both teams.
Yeah, I think we said that at the beginning of the year. That, you know, you asked me to pick a winner. I said flip a coin, and here we are this late in the season, and we both have one league loss, and tomorrow night's game is probably going to go a long way into deciding the TVC Ohio Championship. And, you know, you talked about the Logan team. You know, 8 days before that game, we didn't have a problem with them either. We played them twice in 8 days. And we pretty much, you know, got through that game. But when we went back to their place, that was our first game without Zakiah Salzman. And he's a big part of our offense, and we're not going to have him tomorrow night.
Is that definite?
That's definite. He's out until the tournament.
That's a back injury?
Yeah, stress fracture to the back. The doctor ordered up 2 weeks of rest. And he was a big part of our offense when we played you guys. I mean, he's good with the basketball. He's very quick. He can break down defenses. He penetrates the zone. I mean, you're talking about a kid that was – he got the MVP down at the Marietta Classic for Athens. He was the team MVP at the Beast of the Southeast Classic. I mean, he's an important guy to our team.
Yes.
And it's going to be an uphill battle for us tomorrow night against you guys, because any time we're going to play a team that has speed, has quickness, likes to pressure the ball like Vinton County does, Zakiah Salzman was kind of our outlet and it get us out of that kind of trouble. And not having him tomorrow, it's going to be hard
for Vinton County fans who are trying to figure out which kid he's a freshman. He's kind of he's muscular, he's stocky, and he looks like he's got some. He kind of puts me in mind of an Andy Grillo.
Yeah, he is.
But he also, when I saw him over at the Mac, he impressed me. He had several situations, not necessarily always in transition. They seemed like a lot of them were, but he's not. He can penetrate very well. And he kind of was sneaky good, because it's not a kid. It's not like a Joey Burrows. You just go, ooh, there's the man. There's the big scorer. He is a kid that did a lot of little things well, and I think that kind of takes some pressure off of Burrows, because I think predominantly Joey runs the point, correct?
Well, they would just do it three ways. They would have Ebby Watson, Joe Burrow, and right. Zakiah Salas, and they all three kind of shared in that role.
And then you'd have the bigs, the Littlemans, and Elmore down low.
Right. But you know, Zakiah's main strength was, like you said, penetrating the defense, breaking down a defense. If a team is on man-to-man, you could always rely on Salzman driving to the basket, because he's sneaky fast. He's also jumps a lot higher than people give him credit for. I mean, a kid can jump out of the gym. And if your teams that were playing a zone on us, he could really penetrate that zone and get to the basket. And that's something we've been lacking the last four games. I mean, we played four games in 5 days. Two of them went to overtime. This will be our fifth game in 8 days. And you can really tell that Athens doesn't have him on the floor in the last four games that I've watched them.
And normally your bench is not very deep. Normally Coach Skinner only goes 6-7.
Right.
That's about it.
Yeah, I think we only went 6 deep against you guys with Salzman.
Right.
Or 7 deep maybe, I guess, because we got – no, Ryan Lerman was not back.
He was so not back.
So you're going to see about the same rotation because we have Ryan Lerman back who didn't play against you the first time. So you're going to see similar, yes, 6, maybe 7 off the bench.
Well, if you're going to the game tomorrow night, we suggest you get there early, regardless of what school you will be supporting, because it'll be a flat-out throwdown at Vinton County High School. But I would take time out tomorrow night to say howdy do to you, and you know, because as some posters on Preps put it, that you always want to talk to me before the game because I'm such a sore loser. And I don't know why you're buzzing me on that on Preps, but I was not. We got beat, you know.
Did you just run out of the gym before it was over? I didn't even have a chance to talk to you. I think you just took off.
No, I've never. I mean, whether we win or lose, you can ask anyone. I want to get out of there before the crowd, you know, beat the traffic. No, it was no different than – ask my wife. When I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. It wasn't. It didn't have anything to do with, you know, the outcome, you know, in the first game, it was beginning of the fourth quarter, you knew who was going to win that. I did not see Matt and the Vikings putting together a run. It just it wasn't in the DNA of the game, or at least what I believe. But it will be a good game. But we need to talk to – I would talk to you tomorrow night, but I know you're now a radio mega media – superstar,
yeah,
giant.
Wish.
So you'll be doing what you're doing, color on WATH WXDQ tomorrow night?
Yes, we will be there covering the game. Actually, the game will also be on Power 105. We'll be on FM, so we're getting even bigger. You know, we'll be on all the FM stations.
As a Vinton County guy from out in this area, you know, I no offense, but we got Bob Grillo and Jeff Thacker, the velvety legendary voices of the Vinton County Vikings. So.
Yeah, we got two radio crews, all kinds of people. Talk about a festive atmosphere. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, all we need now is confetti flying out of the ceiling and dancing bears, and it'll just be a
hoot. Well, it's green and gold confetti, right? I mean, is that what you're going to throw for us if we win? Be very gracious guest.
You know, I'm just going to try to handle this and really keep in mind that I'm an adult. This is a kid's game. And I just hope and pray that no one gets ejected, there's no drama, and that neither me as a Viking fan nor you as an Athens Bulldog fan, that no one is laying in a fetal position, crying their eyes out, and throwing up after the game. It's almost one of these things, I'm looking forward to it, but I'll be very relieved when it's over.
Well, in Vinton County's case, I mean, you still got a lot of games to play.
That's,
you know,
the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I mean, it's a good news, bad news situation.
Right.
If we win, if we get you guys tomorrow night and take care of business – it really doesn't mean squat because we still have two TVC Ohio games, Wellston up here Friday night for our senior night, and then this makeup game with Coach Klein's Buckeyes next Monday. It's kind of an odd makeup game, but they did that for the 18th, and you know, both of those teams are very, you know, it's gonna be a tough road. But I guess the only good thing for us is we got all three of you conference opponents at our place.
And is nice.
And I think Vinton County is no different than any other. Kids traditionally tend to play better on their home court.
And yours do, definitely.
Usually. There's, you know, Paint Valley, case in point. But anyhow, let's get to the tournament. You were at the big bracket draw yesterday. We want to talk D2, D3, D4. You know, obviously, as far as Athens, they go in to the Logan sectional as a two seed. I don't think there wasn't any real drama with the D2, do you think?
No, I think they all expected it to be cut and dry, and it was. And I was actually surprised at the amount of time that it took them. I mean, they went in and they were out probably 20 minutes, and they just hammered it out. I think with the records and how the season played out, there was really no drama or arguments of where teams should have been placed. You can ask Coach Combs. He was one of the first guys out.
Yeah, and he would even told us before he left, and that's been quite a while ago, that there was, I think he said, about every vote but maybe one was unanimous. There was really, it was pretty cut and dry. You know, and as far as you guys, you know, where you're going to play, let's see, where I'm looking at my bracket here, and I know you got the winner of No.
And we play Gallia Academy.
You got Gallia Academy. It says the Plains Athens area. You got Gallia Academy. They're a 7 seed. If you win that game, you're going to play the winner of the Washington Courthouse Chillicothe game. Chillicothe, despite their record, they've gotten a little little dangerous here in the last excuse me, my phone's ringing. I'm just hang that up. Maybe I can edit that out. Maybe I don't care. Anyhow, they're going to play. Chillicothe's been playing a little bit better ball, but I think Athens should get by those. I don't think they're going to be super easy games, but they should survive in advance.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Gallia actually gave us a really good game earlier in the year. Barely got by them. I think we're a much better basketball team than when we played them the first time. And I guess really the million-dollar question is, how good are these teams from the Southeastern Sectional? I really don't know how good Washington Courthouse is, or Miami Trace, or Unioto, or any of those teams. I haven't seen any of them play this year with the exception of Fairland, who Athens played at the Beast of the Southeast. I did get a good look at them.
You guys beat Fairland, right?
Yeah, we were up by, I think, 20 points at one point against them.
I think they're a Jekyll and Hyde team. Washington Courthouse, not that it matters. They scrimmaged Vinton County early in the year. Not to be rude, you kind of throw that away because, you know, that time of the year, you know, things are just kind of getting cooked. And I think Chillicothe, they've under new head coach Meister over there, you know, they lost a lot of talent. They're kind of struggling right now, and I think a lot of the locals are not used to seeing the Cavaliers struggle. But as far as other TVC teams, obviously Vinton County, we get a rematch next year or this year of Fairfield Union. Have you seen them play?
No, I haven't, but I've been watching the teams that they play and their records because they have been in the Logan Sectional, and I've been following all those teams all year. And I know recently they've beaten Logan Elm, they've beaten Taze Valley. So I think they're a team that you're not going to take lightly. Of course,
no.
You know that because of last year. They still have the Bar kid. He's the shooting guard that is, if you look into Columbus Dispatch and scoring leaders in the entire Central District, he's in that top 10 somewhere. Talking about a 20-point game player. Anytime you're going up against a team like that, it worries you. You know, I don't want to play Chillicothe because of Zach Johnson.
There's a lot of people that don't want to play Chillicothe.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Johnson is probably, one of the best players in the entire district, and he's still there. And it's the same thing with Fairfield Union. They got a real nice player, and, you know, I think they're playing better of late. That's going to be a really good game. I mean, it's the same situation as last year. It's going to be the 2-7 at 6, and then you guys play the 8 o'clock game on the same night. So we'll have Athens-Gallia at 6:15, Fairfield Union.
Just deja vu from last year because you guys had the first game last year. Mm-hmm. You went to OT and won. Did you go to OT?
Yeah, yeah.
Went to OT and you
both
guys
of our games Logan Elm have.
Okay.
But we were the 7 last year and upset the 2, so we don't want that to happen again. So we're the 2 seed now.
Well, and as far as to get finish up on the D2, and I was the question I thought about earlier today about asking you, and I have not we did not go to the game Friday night. Wife and daughter had some shopping, and we got a bite to eat at a steakhouse, and we were over in Chillicothe, and here comes a whole posse of Warren Local Blue coming in the steakhouse there, and they sat right beside us, and you know, it's just they didn't know who I was, and that, you know, just talking about how great Warren Local is. Is this the year that Blaine Maddox's Warriors really go make a run? You guys played them. Athens played them. You got beat. It was a close game, very controversial ending. How good is Warren Local?
Oh, they're really good. I watched Athens play with them, though, up until the very end, so I'm not going to say they're not unbeatable. Yeah, I think we had them beat, and, you know, a few things go our way, and we would have beat them, but it was also in our home gym, you know, and there were some other circumstances, but they're an excellent team, and they're a young team. You know, French and the other Patton, I think, are underclassmen, and right now the Division II district, it's not what it was a year ago. You know, Kretzer has graduated. London's gone from Chillicothe. You don't have those superpowers as we did last year. You know, last season at the Convo, the Logan Sectional got shut out of the district finals. Mm-hmm. It was Waverly, Chillicothe, Circleville.
It was the Fairland. Southeastern guys.
Yeah, all four of them. And now I think you're going to see a shift in power, and I'd like to see the Logan Sectional maybe repeat what they did last year. And I really think our teams, especially those top four, I'm guessing are better than the Southeastern District's 4. And we're going to see, you know, when it plays out, I would imagine Warren is going to make a nice run. And if Vinton County can get by a few teams, that's the team you're going to see in the district finals.
Yeah. And, you know, Vinton County with their lack of size, that kind of presents some matchup problems.
Yeah, they're big.
Yeah, Warren Local was they got some post players and they're mm-hmm. the full thing. But you know, we got Combsy.
Yeah, there you go.
That's Ace all Null. We need. Sorry, Snull. But you know, segueing into D3, and as you say, you know, about the Logan D2 sectional, I think top to bottom, the TVC. Good things can, you know, not only in the D2 with Athens Vinton County, but when you look at that D3 sectional, Nelsonville picks up the one seat out of the Athens D3 sectional. You know, they get that. They get a number one seed. They'll play the winner of Crooksville and Alexander, the 8-9 seat. And then other TVC teams I'm looking through here. You know, the Pomeroy or Megs, they get a 6 seed, and they're going to be playing Howie Caldwell's Federal Hockey Lancers. That should be an interesting game there because I have not seen Howie's team play. I talked to Howie over at Alexander about a month ago, and, you know, of course, he played it close to the vest, but you got a legendary coach versus a young up-and-comer coach, as I like to look at David Kite, and a lot of, you know, people excited down at Megs. I'm looking for that game to be kind of interesting.
Oh, I've got that one circled because when I watched Megs play, I was really interested in watching the young man coach David Kite. I'd seeing those two guys coach against each other, I think, is going to be fun, very interesting. I think it'll be a very good game. I think those two teams match up very well with each other, actually.
Other TVC Ohio teams playing in the D3 sectionals in that Athens 1 district, Coach Graham and the Wellston Rockets, they pick up a 5 seat. They're going to be playing Coach Urich's Southeastern Panthers, a team that's kind of had an up and down year. It's kind of be an interesting game because Southeastern's had some very strong wins throughout their regular season, some games that they probably shouldn't have lost that they did, and vice versa. And then you look at Wellston, and they've had some games where, you know, one night they beat Wellston at the MAC, and then turn around the next night, and I think they lose to Rock Hill, which doesn't have many wins. So that's kind of going to be a, you know, a potpourri of what kind of game you're going to get there.
Yeah, anytime you get into the 4 or 5 seeds in any of the sectionals, they always got some kind of intrigue to them. And Wellston is a team that I wouldn't want to play in the tournament just because of the physical tools that they have with Usley and Toriano Smith. I'm interested in watching that game. I actually like all those games in that Division III sectional just because they're all kind of in the same boat. You just don't know what you're going to get.
Well, and the other TVC hockey team, Belpre, picks up a 7 seed. They'll be playing River Valley, the 10 seed. That's a play-in game. They'll get the that winner will go up against Coach Brian Alley and the Zane Trace Pioneers, which that game, the play-in game, I guess, as you call it, that will be February the 19th, 6:15 at Athens High School, and then they will play Zane Trace that at Athens High School on the 23rd at 3 o'clock. But that D3, you know, there'll be a lot of excitement, and I think anyone who follows D3 basketball or anything in Southeastern Ohio knows Ironton is definitely probably got the big bullseye on their back in that whole region. Would you not agree?
Oh, absolutely. But the great thing about the teams in the Athens sectional, they kind of ended up not in their bracket.
No, with the exception of Belpre.
Exactly, or Zane Trace,
yes.
But that's the 2 seed. So I think we kind of lucked out there. And normally I would just be watching these sectional games at Athens thinking, well, whoever gets the win, that's it. That's a one-and-done deal because the Jackson sectional last year and the Waverly sectional were so stacked that the Athens sectional teams had no chance. It was to the point where I almost didn't even want to sit at the convo all those days last year where you had Wellston going up against Ironton, Nelsonville, York going up against Valley. I think they were a little bit of a mismatch. But I think this year I don't see outside of Ironton or maybe Eastern Brown that kind of that strength that I'd seen before. I think Nelsonville, York could actually maybe even beat Chesapeake or Medford, the winner of that game. I think if Federal Hawking was able to get out, maybe they could stay with Oak Hill. At least I think that.
I think Piketon's going to be a very dangerous out for anybody.
Yeah.
And they would get Nelsonville in the district finals. You know, that's getting a little premature, but I like Val. I mean, I'm not trying to talk chalk here, but in that Athens 2 district, the what will probably end up being Piketon Valley, that will be a throwdown. I do see, you know, I kind of think Minford's a team that's a little dangerous. You know, I guess Minford wasn't real happy with their seeding. Not that it matters between a 4 and a 5. That's just who's wearing the darks, who's wearing the whites.
Right.
But, you know, it's like you said, Eastern Brown, you know, very strong team. They've got some studs on their team, Ironton, but the whole D3. But I guess I agree with you. with the exception of Ironton and Eastern Brown, there's not a lot of teams, I guess, what I consider the wow factor, but there's an awful lot of teams just underneath that wow factor that could upset anyone on any given night.
Yeah, and last year you had a situation with Ironton, Portsmouth, Chesapeake, Valley. All four teams were in the top 15 in the entire state of Ohio, and mm-hmm. they were all in the same district here at Athens, and that made it very tough for the teams coming out of the Athens sectional. And I agree, you say they're right below the wow factor, and I think maybe Nelsonville, York, and some of those other teams are just below that. Mm-hmm. But so if they go into the convo, I'm not expecting them to win, but I think they have more of a chance this year than they did last year against those other teams.
Well, and you know, kind of looking back, you know, Coach Klein's done a good job this year. Oh, and yeah. It's, you know, with only four losses, they've taken, and those losses, you know, two to Athens, they got kind of tripped up at Meigs, and then they lost Amanda early in the season up at Amanda. But with those exceptions, I mean, I would no disrespect to Nelsonville, but I would expect Athens to beat Nelsonville. You know, and then as far as the Meigs loss, you know, they've taken care of business. You can't look at them. They are what they are, and you'll say, well, because in the D3, you get a lot of people out of the SOC2 or the SVC that they'll think their conference is stronger. And, you know, it's just, I think all these teams are pretty much, they're very close. When you look at your Valleys, your Minfords, your Oak Hills, your Nelsonvilles, anything can happen. I think the D3 region, D3 district in general is going to be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, well, Nelsonville, York, in my mind, I just watched them a few nights ago take Athens to overtime, and that was just a great game, very even. I mean, Nelsonville, York played with Athens from the tip-off till the final whistle. They were right there with us, and if they play that way against the other, you know, Athens is a really good Division II team, and they stuck right with them. And I think if they would play that way in that tournament, I think they could do some good things.
Okay, moving along to D4. Walk me through this, my friend, because I am clueless and lost when it comes to D4. I don't really – I have nothing against them. Sometimes it's a great quality, but it's just schools that I don't really follow. You know, but give me your rundown with TVC, hockey in Ohio, you know, well, the hockey, it'd just be the hockey, D4, TVC teams, and your general outlook on how this whole district's going to shape up.
Well, this D4 sectional down at Meigs, it's just a mess. I mean, you're talking teams that aren't even above 500 at the 3 seed down. That's how whacked out it got. It's never been like that before because we've always had really good Southern teams. We've had really good Eastern teams. But this year, it's the 3 seed down. I think everybody has a 500 record or below. So it was already kind of a mess going in. Really provided the only drama of the day yesterday, where a Miller team that was actually third in the TVC Hawking standings, right below Belpre and Fed Hawk, who are Division III teams, they were dropped all the way to the 6th seed for some reason, and nobody could figure that out. That was really the only drama that went on yesterday. I was kind of expecting a lot more enthusiasm or people upset, but it was really mild-mannered. I was kind of shocked by how coaches were so laid back, and yeah, that's what we should have got. But that was the one sectional where people come out and said, wow, how did that happen?
Now, in that sectional, you got Reidsville Eastern, Racine Southern, Portsmouth Notre Dame. They're the 1 seed. They're going to play the winner of Latham Western. And basically, you're talking about TVC hockey teams playing SOC teams, you know, in that bracket. And then you go on down, and you got Beaver Eastern, which is, I think, they got the DNA to do what needs to be done.
Yeah, they did last year. They made it all the way to the regionals and beat by Athens Centric, and they got a lot of their players back. I know our man P. Floyd is really high on Eastern Pike. Went down and watched them, said they were really, really good.
Coach Fitch still down there?
I don't know who coached them. I don't know much about them. Obviously, they play, you know, Pike County.
You got a South Webster team coming in a number 2 seed. Unfortunately, they lost one of their good players. And, you know, as far as TVC hockey, you know, the Gloucester and Miller playing each other, a 3 versus a 6, and you said that Miller was a little kind of ironic or kind of weird that they got dropped to a 6. That game, how did those two teams fare against each other earlier in the year in the league?
They split. Miller beat them the last time. Yeah, it seems like everybody split with those teams, and it's very interesting with that matchup. This will be the sixth time they played in 2 years because they met in the sectional last year. They played twice a year. This will be the sixth time they've had to face off against each other. But I think both coaches were upset that Miller dropped that far. Trimble at three did not want to have to play Miller, who's, you know, above them in the TV Hawking standings. They didn't want to have to play them. And then Miller, of course, was upset that they were dropped that far. They thought they should have been ahead of Eastern, Southern. And I could even make a case that they should have been ahead of Trimble.
Well, and one thing, I've kind of talked about this off air. A lot of these coaches, when you have three teams from, say, the TVC and a sectional with three teams from the SOC or the SVC or, you know, name your league, there's loyalty amongst the coaches to an extent, and it varies depending on the coach. But there is still some element of loyalty that if I'm a TVC hockey coach, I'm going to try to normally have my brother's back, so to speak. And I think sometimes that's wherein lies when the seeding process goes on. More times than not, anymore, and Matt was even saying early in the day, it's not as, for lack of a better word, it's not as dirty as it used to be. There used to be conversations that went on amongst coaches before they ever walked in the room, and that has kind of come to an end as far as the politicking, but I still think it's kind of an unknown or a speakeasy that, you know, sometimes, and I think sometimes that is, and it's subjective. That's the thing. And when you bring in, you know, league affiliations and things of that nature, it's hard to sometimes get the cold, hard truth. And that's why we play the games.
Well, in that sectional, it's actually kind of awkward because six of the nine teams are from the TVC hockey.
Right.
They're either who you're going to get. You can't get somebody's back because you're all in there together. It's,
yeah.
You're going to have to vote on your resume. And that's why I thought I was kind of surprised to see Miller drop that far, knowing that they had the better resume than the other teams in there. I think they may have dropped on a respect factor of, hey, this is Miller. They only win two or three games a year.
Well, because Miller, yeah, and that's right. That's not right by
exactly.
Any stretch, because everyone says, well, Miller's never that good. Well, they're good this year.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the way you should vote it. But nonetheless, that's why you and I talk into the mics and don't set on the side.
Well, I think they should just bring me in there as a consultant into the rooms, you know.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, that's what they need to do.
That's
and
all
they could
we
pay
need.
Me, too. I would do that. There you go.
Okay, well, I will be able to get you your check, you know, sometime in the next week. We'll have my the accounting staff here at the Carl.
Is that like a roll of pennies, or are you kind of
We don't roll our pennies. We're we conserve paper. We went green. We just put them in a little bag.
That's good.
I appreciate you coming over here. I mean, next week we're going to have the seniors come in. We're going to have a little senior party here, and I think there's going to be a pool tournament, and Combs is going to take all their money or something like that outside. But I know that I will probably see you tomorrow night, but you'll be there in all your radio glory with your big microphone and flowing robes and all of that. And then you'll probably see me leave quickly.
Well, it depends, you know, how atmosphere is.
But the thing is, tomorrow night, if we win that game tomorrow night, it does not mean squat.
Yeah, it kind of does.
But you still got to take care of business.
Right.
So
right.
That being said, it's not going to be, I don't see, you know, we're not cutting down nets. It's just, you know, still got Wellston, still got Nelsonville.
Well, I think Athens-Vinton County has become a big deal. I think when the kids get out there and see each other across the court from one another, I think that alone makes it a big game. They want to beat each other. I know that.
Yeah, I don't think there's any disrespect. I don't think this is what turned into what, like, when I say rivalry, it's not one of these hate-ridden, nasty rivals. I think there's a respect factor, you know, and obviously football, we got a little work to do on that side. But but with the basketball, and one of our buddies, Dundas, said it very poignantly on preps several months ago, the matchups between Vinton County and Athens from now, probably in the near foreseeable future, are going to be epic.
Yeah, well, they have been. I mean, we had the Miracle at Memorial. You know, you guys have been winning.
The Miracle at Memorial.
McAfee. We have one with Gallia down at Memorial. That's football. Yeah. You're right. Miracle at McAfee. Yeah, we had that. I think they've been epic since we joined the league.
The game, this past game over at the Mac, I don't think and either team played their very best that night. They both, and I've looked at that tape, probably I've looked at it six times, and it's just really neither team played that well. I think both teams played very defensively, and
it was ugly.
Yeah.
It was really ugly.
Yeah, it was. And
That's why I left early. I think I left early. I was just
no, because we had to walk a freaking mile. We were clear down on one of those drop-down parking levels. and I knew that you could tell because everyone pulls into Athens High School. They pull in those first. So when everyone leaves,
right,
it's just organized chaos. So I thought, I'm going to get out of here. Plus, I was in a bad mood. I'm not taking anything away from Coach Skinner and the Bulldogs. Fine program, fine guy.
Well, the great thing about basketball season is you get another game. I mean, you get, unlike football, you lose, you're waiting a whole another year to play, you know. So yeah. Basketball, you knew you were going to get us again, and you're going to get us on your home court.
Yeah, but we still got to lace them up. And as people said, when you put a ball in young men's between the ages of 14 and 18, when you put the ball in their hands and put them out on the court, some crazy stuff can happen. So exactly. Be looking forward to seeing you tomorrow night. And, of course, I'm all jacked up after having – Sweet Lou Horvath in studio.
That was good. That was really good. Yeah. I like that.
Well, for Matt Combs, for Lou Horvath, and for Mr. Tri-Valley Conference himself, Troy Bowl and Carl Knox, and thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week on the Viking Roundball Podcast.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast.